This is Michelle Page Holmes, author of Counting Stars, and you're listening to the LDS Women's Book Review Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to episode 17 of LDS Women's Book Review Podcast. We welcome you here with us today. I'm Shanda.
Sheila.
And of course, your favorite, Hillary.
And we're going to be discussing a few books today. It'll be a quick podcast, probably. Before we get into that, I want to start with our book news. Last podcast, you might remember me talking about, or Hillary actually reviewed the book, Please No Zits, mm-hmm. by Anne Bradshaw. She did email me and let me know that Deseret Book does have that book.
So good.
If you're interested, you can find that at Deseret Book. Because I never put the link up, because I forgot. But now you know you can find it on the internet by typing in Anne Bradshaw or the website that I gave you last time, or you can go to Deseret Book and find that book. Other book news. We are closing up the year 2007, and the Whitney Awards are going to be coming up next spring, I believe. And you only have a little bit more time to nominate your favorite books that were published in 2007. If you can't remember or you're not sure what books that you've read are that were published in 2007, you can find a list of those at www.ldspublisher.blogspot.com. And they have that list on the right side of the website. You just have to page down a little bit, and you can find all of the books by LDS authors that were published in 2007. I think at least it's a pretty complete list, even if it's not everybody. It's mostly there.
It was exciting to see that we'd read a lot of those books, too, when I looked at the list.
There were a number of books I'd read on there, and ones that I really want to read. So.
Yes, both.
Anyway, and also our contest that we held for the Shandra Covington Mystery Series by Jeff Savage, it ended last Saturday. We have not drawn a name yet because we're saving that to be announced on our gift guide podcast that we'll be recording a little bit later. So it's a separate podcast from this one. If you want to tell your friends or family about that separate podcast and they don't want to listen to our whole regular podcast, it will be available separately. Just look for our special episode, our 2007 Christmas gift guide or holiday gift guide. I don't know what I'm going to name it yet. And that will be available for them to listen to. And it shouldn't be as long as our regular podcast. We're going to keep that one shorter also, so it's not too heavy of a listen. I think that's all of my book news. Do you guys have any other book news, recent releases, anything that you're...
I haven't heard of anything yet. Well, I'm in the middle of reading Shannon Hale's new book, The Book of 1,000 Days. And I like it so far. You know, she always just surprises me how she can write so many different types of books, mm-hmm. even though they're all written for young adult. I mean,
is this a recent release?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
In fact, this is on that list at lspublisher.blogspot.com.
Yeah, it was released this year.
Well, you can talk a little bit more about that when we get to recent reads.
Super. But yeah, that one's good.
I think if there isn't any more book news, we'll talk about personal news. Any personal news?
No.
Yeah. Nothing interesting.
Nothing that you want to know about.
Nothing here either. So, okay, well, that was easy. Now let's get into recent reads since we pretty much just launched right into that. Just a few minutes into our podcast. That's great. Who wants to start?
I'll start since you're both looking at me.
Go ahead, Hillary.
All right. I didn't do nearly as much reading this month as I did last month, but I did do some. So I read some of the Candy Shop War. As much as I could, but I will talk about that later. The Wednesday Letters, which I believe we're going to discuss in a little bit too. Mm-hmm. But I also read Peculiar in a Good Way. And the thing that kills me about this is it took me forever to get through it, but it was so good. It was just trying to get through it. And I know that sounds terrible because usually that doesn't go hand in hand for me. Usually if it's mm-hmm. really good, I blaze through it. But I don't know. I don't know if it was a time issue or I get hung up on taking notes so much that sometimes it's hard for me to enjoy a book because I'm writing down almost everything that's in it. I hate it when I do that.
And then, you just buy the book.
I know. That's why I'm like, I just need to own it. That's the thing. that's all there is to it. I just need to own it. And then I read Please Pass the Scriptures by John Hilton. And that's going in my gift guide, by the way. I really, really, really liked it. And though I took notes, they weren't like pages of it. They were mm-hmm. just the right amount where I could read back and go, oh, yeah. Oh,
just a good idea. Reminder.
Mm-hmm. And then I'm reading right now, trying, Creativity by, how do you say his name? Mahali, blah, 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 blah. It's like 15 letters in his last name. Seriously.
Yeah, I think I know what you're talking about. Do you, Shanda?
No.
Do you remember? It was in CK a while ago. It's just a book on how to be more creative, and it's just, I can't pronounce it.
It's just a good book.
I guess I missed that magazine episode because I don't remember that one.
Yeah, so it's very long, and I'm reading Having a Merry Heart in a Martha World still. I just barely started that one like Tuesday. So I'm only like a chapter into it. And even though she's not LDS, she's got some good ideas so far. I mean, she talked right up front about how life isn't fair and Satan's greatest tools are distraction, discouragement, and doubt. Those are the three things. And I just went, oh, that's true. And she lists some experiences that you go through on a daily basis that involve those three things. And it's just like, oh. And then you think of your life. It's like, I've got things going on in my life right now that are frustrating and have caused discouragement and doubt. And I just have to remind myself that those are Satan's primary tools. He's not a creator of new tricks. He uses his old ones and they work over and over and over again. And that's the thing. Yeah. Anyway, so it's a good book so far. I'm very impressed and I really like it so far.
You know,
so.
I've noticed that Satan uses a lot of words that start with D.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so funny that you should say that. I need to read this book because previously I made a list once of all of the D words that the devil uses.
Donuts. Those are evil.
Notice chocolate starts with a C.
That's right.
Yes.
That works pretty well. Chocolate?
Yeah.
That's such a heavenly dessert.
That's right. It is. I'm sure that there'll be plates of it in the celestial kingdom.
You know what they say about with no calories. The dark chocolate's good.
I say, yeah, dark chocolate's good for you.
Oh, but that starts with a D.
Oh.
There you go.
Sorry to rain on that one.
Yeah, you did too.
I'm trying to think. I don't think I've really read anything else. Just been doing my usual reading of scrapbook magazines, but I don't think that really counts because...
Oh, it counts.
Are you reading or skimming?
It's a little of both. Just through. Depends on the book. So, yeah. Anyway, so not a ton, but a little bit.
Oh, we're still prepping for February 2nd.
That's right.
I sent my registration form in. I don't think anyone else has it.
Shanda and I are last minute girls. It doesn't even matter when our husbands are paid. It's like, we'll get to it.
What if there is a huge influx of people and they will get the free products?
You know what? We've worried about that every year.
Every year we do. We go, oh, what if we don't get the bag? But we managed to get in every year.
It's been 6 years. So I think maybe we might have to worry about that a little bit.
I was like, yeah, I should probably send in my registration soon.
I know. Eventually. Time's going by faster than I want it to. I can't believe we are fast approaching December and I'm not prepared.
Well, Thanksgiving's next week.
I know.
See, Tana's birthday was yesterday and her birthday is a week before. Or Thanksgiving is a week after her birthday. And so, yeah. Well,
I'm with you.
My daughter's 10. It has been 10 years since I had my first baby, and I didn't think it would be that big of a deal. Tana had a hard time when she realized she was going to be 10 and leaving the single digits behind.
Oh, and she has no idea. When you leave the 20s, that's when it's leaving stuff behind. Oh, man.
Well, she'll find that out in about 20 years.
Yeah.
Last night it was so cute because she kept asking me what time it was. All day she kept asking me what time it was and what I was doing 10 years ago. And she's like, how are you feeling? And just my 10-year-old, my almost 10-year-old. So, Mom, what time is it? What were you doing right now? How were you feeling? And I was telling her, well, about right now the contractions were getting a lot stronger. And I was wondering if I should call my doctor. What were you doing that now? Well, you know, and it started the day before her birthday because I had labored 30 hours.
I was going to say, that's
her.
Actually pretty accurate, the day before your birthday. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She started the night before her birthday. And then when we were at the store at Harmon's getting ice cream, we were in the ice cream aisle and she said, Mommy, what time is it? And I said, I don't know, sweetheart. I can't look because I was holding Riley in my left hand. So my left arm, so I couldn't look at the clock. And I put her ice cream in the cart and she says, but I want to know, you know, like, had you had me yet? Am I 10 yet?
Oh, that's so cute.
And so I looked and I said, oh, you were just barely born. You were maybe a minute old. It was like 5:38. She was born at 5:37. And I said, you were just taking your first breath. They had you in the resuscitation room, getting the meconium out of your lungs. And you were crying. And I could hear you in there. And I couldn't believe I had my first baby. And, you know, like she was, oh, how were you feeling? And was I crying?
You have to realize her daughter is a very deep thinker. She's always been that way.
She can't, well, I think JC's a little deeper thinker than Tana is, but Tana, like, I don't know what it is, but lately she's just wanted to see things from a different point of view. And I think it's good. It means
that
she's
kind of,
it's kind of a different level of emotional intelligence than we've than an 8-year-old or a 5-year-old. Or,
oh, yeah. I don't think any of my kids are ever going to ask me that. I don't expect to be asked that question.
Well, you might be surprised.
Our kids are smarter than we think they are.
Well, now, on the other hand, I do get asked other questions. How come it's called a armpit, but it's not called a leg pit? You know, things like that. That's I get asked.
Everyone calls it a knee pit that I know of. I call it a knee pit.
Oh, see, and I've never heard that.
I've never had either.
Yeah, I don't
those
know.
Are the kind of questions I get.
I guess it can be called that because it's whatever you want to call it.
That's right.
But anyway, so she had her fourth grade friends over last night, and it was absolutely insane. I had a view of the future, and I was terrified. I had a group of fourth graders. Half the kids had gone home. We only had like 7 or 8. You know, they had they watched a movie, watched Ratatouille, and had popcorn and pizza and all that fun stuff. Half of them had gone home, but her friend Trayson, her boy.
Friend with a pause.
Yes, although she is in love with him.
He just thinks he's a little what crush. You say.
He just wants a friend, but he's a really nice guy. She came home and told me, Jason said he wants to go on a mission. I'm like, yes. Anyway.
You're like, send that mom.
Only in fourth grade, we're already thinking that. But anyway, quickly, half of the friends had gone home, but he had given her a Rascal Flatts CD, her very first CD ever, and she was insane.
Rascal Flatts.
Insanely happy.
I love Rascal Flatts.
I can't believe it! Something like that. And so we put it in so she could listen to it after the party was all over. They were dancing like crazy. My husband pulled out the camcorder.
Whoa.
And they were just having so much fun, and the music was up loud, and it was just filling the whole house, and I thought, oh, great. I can totally imagine 14 having a big party, lots of friends, and the girls were already like, ooh, tell me what she said. Tell me, ooh, I know and so-and-so's in the hospital because she has double pneumonia and all this stuff. And I'm like, what?
Fourth grade?
What are you talking about? And they all want to know, ooh, what's she doing? And I'm like, gossip already. Oh. Anyway, so it was fun. Anyway, so I didn't mean to get off on that. Back to recent reads.
I'm done.
Are you done?
Sheila.
Let's see. I read the Wednesday letters. That was my first for the month. And I did that very quickly. And then I finished The Goose Girl by Shannon Hill and loved it. I know last podcast I was going, I don't want to read it. I don't like what's happening to the main character. But once you got past the part one and you get into part two, it's fabulous. If you have not read The Goose Girl, you must read it.
And hang in there past the first half.
Yes, you have to. When all the bad stuff is happening to the main character, you have to trudge through that, and then you'll love it. And I have the second.
Because it's not the writing. It's just the story.
No.
What's happening in the story.
The writing is fabulous. I love Shannon Hill's writing. She's a great author. But there are two other books in the series, Anna Burning and The River Secrets, which I have on hold at the library, which I will be reading.
Anna Burning is a different book. When I was reading it, I wasn't sure how I was going to like it because I just read The Goose Girl and I was all high on Goose Girl.
Oh.
So when I went into Anna Burning, it was different. It's a little darker.
Really?
It's a little darker and I wasn't sure how I felt about it, but the story was good, her writing was good, and I'm glad I read it.
Okay.
And I'm going to own it because I like that. No, I hadn't heard about The River City.
River Secrets.
Oh, River Secrets. Until you told me about it a couple weeks ago. So I need to read that one. I had no idea there was a third story in the series.
Yeah.
But I'm excited to read that one because I did enjoy the other ones. But The Princess Academy is another one of my very favorites of Shannon Hale.
Right.
So I would recommend reading that one next, actually.
Oh, definitely. Well, I've got that one, too. My daughter's reading that right now. But I have her new book that I'm in the middle of, which is Book of 1,000 Days. It's very different because it is written... One of the characters in the book is keeping a diary, and we're reading her diary. That's the format. It is interesting.
And the basis of the story is the author of the journal.
Is the maid. She is the maid, and she and her lady that she
attends to.
Right, that she attends to have been locked up into this tower because the lady would not get married to the lord, the Khan, that... her father wanted her to because he's a brute. And she's in love with someone else. The lady is. So they get locked up into the tower with
her
seven
father
years.
Put
yes,
her in there?
Yes, because she was disobedient.
This takes place in China,
yeah,
right?
It does. It takes place, you know, way back when in China. And so
that's interesting right there.
It is interesting. And there's little pictures throughout the book for those of you that have to have pictures. But it's
Would
it's
you
very,
say this is a young adult?
It's both. It's both young adult and an
oh,
adult
yeah.
book.
It's a young
I
adult.
Mean, she writes for young adults, right. but what I've found with her books is that she writes for young adults, but they're so good for adults, because I also read Austenland, mm-hmm. and I loved it. That is my favorite Shannon Hale book. Absolutely loved it. Anyone who has read Pride and Prejudice or loves the movies, you really have to read this book.
I have it on my shelf. I got it from the library, so I'll have it read by next podcast. Maybe even, you know.
You know what? You pick it up and you can't put it down. That's how I was.
I was too.
Loved it.
I enjoyed it.
Is it quick read?
Yeah.
Yes, okay, it's definitely.
I'd say 2 days tops.
And that one is written as an adult book.
Right.
Yeah, that one's not young adult. There's no question about that one.
Yeah, that's definitely not an, yeah.
It's a woman's.
Yes, it is. Okay. Yes. And then I'm almost done with The Candy Shop War, and we'll talk about that a little bit. And I'm thinking that that's about all I have read, but that's pretty.
I forgot to mention, I watched the Tradition Spirit Honor that was the DVD. Bronco Mendenhall, the DVD from Desert Book.
Did you like it?
Loved it. And not just because I enjoy football. It's not just because I like BYU football, although I really enjoy that too. It was more about how they have changed the program, because those of you who are familiar with BYU football, when Lavelle Edwards retired, Gary Croton, I was trying to think of his name, came and took over. And the program changed. And it wasn't necessarily a horrible, bad thing. It just didn't flow. It wasn't the same. And yes, he had a great track record. But if you look at what happened during the times, there was also some player mishaps as far as with the law and honor code violations and different things like that. There were big issues, and that was the main reason why he was released. It wasn't because of his track record as a coach, which is usually why coaches are released.
Right.
But he was released because of that. And when Bronco came in, he immediately changed the way the program was done, so it was more spiritually based instead of so much football based.
Mm-hmm. I love
and looking
that
to
idea.
Try to win because, you know, go for the big W versus having it where the main point of BYU is not its football program. It's great football.
Are you sure?
I'm positive.
Oh, okay.
So you wouldn't know it half the time, but no, I'm just kidding.
So where does this DVD fall under? Is it something you could watch for
I would say it's a good family home evening, a very good family home evening watch. I would say it's great for teenagers. Little kids might have a hard time sitting through it because it's definitely not, you know, flashy, cartoony kind of. It's not an attention. It's more of a spiritual.
Is it kind of like a fireside type
It's
thing?
More like a fireside. It's
so
like
no one's
fireside.
Breaking out into musical music
not usual
or anything.
No,
so.
I think there might be a little of that, but not too much.
So would you recommend that?
Oh, yeah. And I would say it crosses all gaps. I would say it would be excellent men because they enjoy football, and women because it's a spiritual aspect.
Well, and women.
And those of us in the middle. I was like, and those of us in the middle.
I'm not a football fan.
But. So even if you're not a football fan, just the Bronco Mendenhall has a spirit about him that I hope he's with BYU for a long time. He's quite an interesting
guy.
How
long is it?
I'd say it's an hour and 20 minutes or something like that. So it's not really long. It seemed
to
go by
pretty
fast to me.
But it's not like a 20 minute.
No, it's not like a quick little church CES broadcast or something. You know, it's a DVD. It's really good. I enjoyed it.
Well, I'm glad they sent that to us. I knew you would enjoy it. That's why I handed it straight to you.
Yep,
hey,
I enjoyed
it. Watch this. I know you're going to love it.
I forgot to mention that, but yes, it was really good, and it will. Well, it's not a book, so I can't put it on my list, I guess. But if I were to recommend a DVD, I would go with that one.
Well, I would imagine that our recommendations can go a little bit beyond books into anything that would increase our spirituality or inspire. Because
then I would throw that
we're
on
not
there.
Limited to LDS books either. If there's
that's
another
true.
Book.
That's true.
Yeah. So for I would say if you have good music or a DVD recommendation, that would work too. Because not everybody reads.
This is true.
Okay, that so you did true. You're done with your recent reads?
I am.
Okay, mine won't take very long because I only have a couple. I, of course, read the Wednesday Letters, so apparently all of us have read the Wednesday Letters. It was really quick. It's a bigger book. It's hardbound. You think it's going to take a while, but I finished it really quick. I mean, I read maybe 15 minutes or something, and I was on page 88.
Yep,
I mean, it went really quick.
Mm-hmm.
And it was good. It was a good book. It's based in the 80s, which kind of threw me off.
I know. I didn't catch
thinking,
on to that at first. I was like, and then I read the dates, and I went,
that was
April
13th.
That was April 19th.
Yeah. It was good. We're going to talk briefly about the Wednesday Letters in a little bit. I also read Millennial Glory series. Volume 1, Hidden Light by Wendy Edwards. I have to tell you, first of all, this is heavy reading. It's not because it's of the way it's written. It's because of the subject matter.
Subject matter.
Usually if a book takes me, you know, if I can only get a chapter or two in each time I read, then I get kind of bored with it or feel like I'm trudging. But I have to say that I was okay with this. I was okay with this trudging because the end, the footnotes were awesome. I did my own research.
I did
my own reading. And it's not one that you can just sit down and speed through. This is a book when you sit down to read it, you sit down to read it and really think about what's going on and wonder about all her research. Her research is so thorough.
But I appreciate that kind of writing.
Some things have come to light to me about in the LDS perspective, the LDS doctrine about the last days and what could happen. And there's some questions about, I never thought of when in the scriptures, when the Lord says, I cometh quickly, that you think it's going to be soon, but actually it could mean when I come, it's going to be so fast. You're not going to know. And so it could be either way or both ways.
I guess I never really thought about it that way.
But that was something that I was like,
I am interested in reading that. That is one of those.
But still, I would definitely recommend it. Go and buy it. I can't wait to get to the next one. Because I know this is a book that if you like to speed through series and just get right through them, this is not going to happen. The series. If you like reading and thinking and pondering and being able to consider all of the different points of views and the things that could happen and speculative fiction, whatever, this is definitely a series you'd enjoy. It's going to take me a while to get through it, but I want to. Because I enjoyed it. Then I read, I'm about halfway through Candy Shop War. That's all. That's all I read.
Oh, I read the conference edition of The Enzyme.
Oh, well, see, I haven't
I forgot about that.
I read the paper every day and I read stuff on the internet.
Yeah, me too. But as far as book wise, well, okay.
I read my thousands of emails that come through the man's sister.
Well, first let's cover the Candy Shop War really quick.
Yes.
Sheila is almost done with it.
I am. I'm sitting here reading the very ending because I can't put it down.
Okay, what we'll do is Hillary and I will kind of talk about our first impressions. You talk about your first impressions and then you take over from there.
Well, let me just start this before you guys even start talking.
Okay.
I think I'm the only one that has read Brandon Mole before.
You are.
Yes. Because I have read Fablehaven and Fablehaven 2, Rise of the Evening Star.
Right.
And I know what a fantastic writer.
And you love
writer.
Them. You told us
absolutely
how much you love them.
Absolutely love it. Know that people are out there that absolutely love Fablehaven. You know, I cannot wait till the third one comes out where you just sit on pins and needles right now going,
like the 470 Meyer.
Yeah, I'm like,
seriously. I mean, he left the second Fablehaven just so totally open. You're just going, oh,
anything can
buddy,
happen.
You don't do this, you know?
Yes, you do. You do. You want
readers
exactly. to come back.
So from that perspective, that's why I was able to trudge on more so than the other two, probably because I know
mine was time restraint.
Well, mine is too, though, you know?
Mine wasn't.
I'm a huge person that has like thousands of things going on, but you know what? I was up till 1:30 reading.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I wanted to. I tried to stay up last night and I kept falling asleep.
Oh, I did too.
So I would have finished if I could have stayed awake. But
Go ahead, you guys.
With Hillary and I, we had a discussion quickly this morning and Sheila and I did yesterday. At first, when we first started this book, it's a little, the prologue really threw me off. I have to admit, I really didn't care for the prologue.
My book. No, keep reading. You gotta tell us how it ends.
Oh. She's still trying to read.
Like you read, we'll talk.
Well, this is just so hard not to read it because you guys, I am in the last.
I know you're in
few chapters.
That's why I'm like, hurry up, read it. Sheila,
I'm trying to listen to what they're saying too, though.
As far as the beginning, I was not impressed with the prologue.
I wasn't either.
I thought it was too adult for a book that's aimed towards early teens or younger. And I was one of the characters, the things, it didn't make sense to me. And so I'm hoping that as I get further in the book, that it will all kind of come together because I can't imagine an author as talented as Brandon Mole throwing things out there and not having a reason for it.
It all
there's
is
a
so
reason
explained.
For it. And the first half of the book, I love Nate and Summer and Trevor and Pigeon. I love.
I think it's the name. Half of the issue, I like.
Have you read it far enough? It explains.
She hasn't.
Okay, yeah.
No, I know why. I know how he got his name. I got that far.
Oh, you got
that far.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
That's part of the reason I like him.
Oh, okay. Well, and that's. I mean, the kids. I really like the characters. I think he developed the children in this.
They are adorable
and they're wonderful characters. I love Nate. Too, but I love Summer too. She's
Summer's
great.
Cute.
Yeah, she's the only girl in the group, and I think that's wonderful.
Yep.
I used to that's hang wonderful. Out with guys like that in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
I loved it. You know, it was fun.
So I think, I mean, the characters and the writing style is great. My only issue so far has been with the story. I haven't cared for the storyline. The characters I really like, and the writing style is easy to read. It's talented writing. I just, you know, I'm not sure about where I am, where Brandon Mole's taking this as far as morals and ethics in the story. And I know that it has to be explained later. That's why I'm going to finish reading it. Mm-hmm. But for the first half, I have to tell you, I'm questioning. I would doubt if my son were old enough, if I would let him read it at the point
really?
Where I'm at right now.
I don't know if I'd go that far. I just felt like it was boring me a little bit.
I wasn't bored.
And,
I was really questioning some of the things that was happening.
Because I know how he can write and I know the excitement
that it can be
of the other
book.
Yes. And I just wasn't getting into it that much. But by the time I got to page 168, chapter 9, which is called Clean Slate,
right.
took
That's
off.
Where I'm,
absolutely took off there. And I mean, seriously, I want you to look where I'm at.
I read all of 73.
I read all of this last night.
I'm on clean slate right now.
Okay. This is what I read last night, you guys. I read from 168 to about 364.
So you basically read a small book.
I did last night from about 7 o'clock to 1:30 in the morning.
I'm about halfway through.
That shows how good it gets. And everything is explained. Everything starts coming together.
So then you're not, so I shouldn't be bothered by the Mrs. White.
No. But you know what? It's just like any other book. There are evil characters. There are good characters. Mrs. White is an evil character. Mm. And she needs to be taken care of.
Well, I can understand the good and evil characters, and you have to have a conflict and everything. Mm-hmm. And good versus evil is always a good storyline.
Right.
But I just, I feel like the children would know better.
Why would they? Why do you think kids would know better? Kids are being deceived constantly by things all around them.
That's true.
Well, so are parents.
I see that. So are parents. Yes.
I mean, I can understand that. It's just that's why I kind of like how you were with Shannon Hale last week with the Goose Girl,
exactly.
Where you didn't really care for the story that was going on.
I'm willing to give it a try.
Oh, you have
to. I'm willing to finish it. We talked about it this morning. We decided.
Agreed. We're going to finish it.
Because neither of us have read Fablehaven, so we can't honestly say. Okay.
We don't know about his writing style.
We don't know. We don't know. Maybe this is his trend and this is just how he writes. And once you get in the middle of it, you're going, wow, kind of a book. Because that's happened before with other books.
I've had other people tell me how good it is, and I'm sitting here thinking, when?
Okay, the best way to describe
this. Is it going to happen soon? Because I'm getting bored. Because my issue is boredom. Mm. I like the characters. I just couldn't get into the story. I didn't like the introduction. And
it was dragging. But you know what? The only way I can describe this is think about when you're getting on an exercise bike or the elliptical or something. You start off first with warm-ups. Okay.
Yeah.
And you're warming up your body. I know. And nothing real exciting is happening. Your heart rate's not going very, fast yet. But then all of a sudden it picks up and it picks up and it goes and it goes and it goes. And then you're in a real good rush where you've got a good heart rate going.
Yes, but then you die.
No,
you do. I don't.
I'm just kidding.
I get a good workout.
I'm kidding. Then you hit the wall. That's what happens.
No. Then I get my 3 or 4 miles in,
Then you feel better after.
That's true. You feel great after.
But that's the only way I can describe.
You have that natural high.
Exactly.
Like we're kind of in the reluctant, I really don't care
to
work out, but
I
have to.
The endorphins have not kicked in
yet. We haven't hit the, I'm glad I read this part.
Yes. But seriously, once you get going and once they're getting involved a little bit more and there's another character that's introduced more, the ice cream man, once he is introduced more and you start figuring out why they're looking for this treasure and what the treasure is going to bring about, and I mean,
curious.
Well,
don't ruin the ending for me then, because I do
want
to finish it.
I haven't read the ending.
Well, yeah, I guess you can't ruin it for me, can you?
I want to read it.
But Hillary and I did agree, to be fair, even though to voice our, where we're at right now, which could be where people find themselves as they're reading it. Maybe if they listen to the podcast and then read it, they'll understand when they feel this way.
Exactly.
That it would be worth it. But to be fair, we wanted to
finish it.
We'll
definitely.
See if our ending
if I had read
opinion
Fablehaven,
matches this.
I would probably feel different. I probably.
See, that's exactly
it's
what
like,
I
then
thought.
I could say, okay, you know what? I'm not going to read it. But this is, and I just don't feel like it would be fair. And I agree with Shanda. It wouldn't be fair to say, oh, don't read it because we couldn't get through the first two chapters.
I will say this thing. I think the beginning could be shorter.
Yes.
I agree with that.
The introduction.
Yes.
The first half of the book, it could be not so drawn out. It could be not so, I hope this gets better. I hope this gets better. Especially considering that it's young adult fiction. They needed to get to the story a little bit faster.
I agree
with that. And
that's
something that I don't think will change in my opinion.
Because I'm already on page 40. I'm on page 50, basically. And it's still, I'm just kind of going, this better get better fast because I'm getting bored. I'm just bored.
Well, I have to tell you, I really think.
I still kind of feel that way.
I really think that young adult boys are really going to love this because the things that the magical candy has you do, they're superhero type things.
Well, it's like what Nate said. I've always wanted something this cool to happen to me with the magic. Worth it for him for the candy. And Summer, of course, as the girl of the group, she's, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about this. I'm not sure.
A little bit reluctant.
But
Pigeon
was feeling, he was a little bit like that too, but because his buddies were there, he kind of felt a little peer pressured.
Right. Well, and we have the bullies in the story, and
I wasn't quite sure how I felt about what happened to the bullies.
You know what,
though?
I'm fine with that. Yeah. You really were sad about what they'd been bullied by them for all their years in elementary school.
I agree with that. I also agree with Nate that he wouldn't take it when Nate was standing
exactly.
up to him.
I
understand
that.
Because,
but
really,
I agree
if you don't
with Summer
stand
when
up
she
yourself.
Felt bad for Kyle or whoever it was that had the I won't go into detail, but, you know.
But see, a girl usually does show more compassion.
That's true.
Stuff like
and
that.
I agree with her that I think there might have been just a little bit better way to handle it.
How? They tried everything else and nothing had ever worked and they
had
kept
they
getting
involved adults?
I think so. And they, I but you know what? Every time like they that. Said they involved an adult, I think they said it got worse. So it
did
was better
take
not to.
Karate.
For heaven's sake.
Seriously, one good shoot over the neck, they'll leave you alone.
Well, why don't you tell Brandon really all that next time
you write? I know, but if, write a letter. I'm sure he's got a comment section. But I think that's something that would bring about a good discussion with your child about what's appropriate.
It's true, and you know what? If you
especially
go to page,
there's no such thing as magic candy.
If you go to page 408, there is a wonderful reading guide.
I do like that. I noticed that because I always like to flip through a book before
yes.
I read it, and I did like that.
Is it based toward aimed towards children?
Yeah, it is. It is.
I would say so. Yes, I was going to say. You know, this is something I would love to ask one of my girls, you know, if in relation to a book, you know,
exactly.
if they look out for
it's
each
right
other,
there.
If they are being a good
right.
friend, showing loyalty. It's like, it's a great discussion.
Oh, it is
it's
right
a
there.
Discussion jumper.
Here's, look at the number five. Well, look at number five, talking about bullies. The kids in this story had to deal with bullies. Summer, Trevor, and Pigeon used a passive approach, giving in to their demands. Nate stood up to them and sometimes suffered unhappy consequences. What do you think is the best approach for handling bullies?
A perfect question to ask a child.
Yes. There's some great questions here. I love his reading guide. It's fabulous.
I really think this is good that we're at different parts of the book. You're in the beginning. I'm in the middle.
You're
at the
end.
Right, right. That's a first for us, isn't it?
Because honestly, I think that if I had to – there was – I almost – didn't keep reading. I don't usually put books down. I usually read them all the way through. And this one, I was honestly tempted. But I thought because
I don't like it. I stop. And
I
that's
really
my
wanted
problem.
To read it. And that's the, my thing is I'm wondering if I put something down, am I missing out on something?
Oh, and I don't run through that. It doesn't run through my mind at all. My mind says, okay, what else have I got in my stack that looks better than this?
Right.
That's what I do. It's not, oh, I wonder if this is going to get better.
Well,
it's,
no, mine you know, is like, just, is there something I might be missing in this?
See, and I don't worry about that because if I don't like it from the first part, it usually almost, let me clarify that. It almost ends up the way I predicted.
Right.
Where if I do finish it, it's like, oh, that was a waste of
two days. And I told you the main reason that I stuck with it, but you have to realize I was reading both Book of a Thousand Days by Shannon Hill and The Candy
and
Shop.
That would be a tough, I'd be like, eh.
Well,
you told
you
me
saw.
You went for Book of a Thousand Days before Candy Shop.
I did. Well, I walked around. I'd go to the doctor's, you know, and I'd bring both books with me, or I'd go off to piano lesson and wait, you know.
I do
and
that
I'd
with
have
this.
Both books with me and
I had
usually, you know,
these
pick
two.
Up this
I
other.
Had these two with me for the first week after you gave
Candy
these
Shop
to me.
And
Candy
please
Shop
pass
and Please
scriptures.
Pass the Scriptures, because if this one got to be too boring, I'd
exactly.
swap over to
that's
this one, and when I got
do.
Tired of this one, I'd swap over to this one, because that's I like to do that. I like to swap off nonfiction with fiction.
That's
when
good.
I'm, it works yeah. out pretty good for me, especially if I have to read it.
Idea.
I'm assigned
a
to read
idea.
It. But
yeah. Okay, so
I
think
to read it.
I think we've all agreed that we will revisit
we'll
Candy Shop
yeah,
next I, podcast, and we'll
true.
See. We'll see if our
opinions have
changed.
I'm curious now if my opinion
okay,
will change.
Well, yeah, let me just put this out there for those of you that have read the Fable Haven books, you'll love this because halfway through, it totally gets into that adventure. And the mystery, and it just draws you in. I mean, I'm just going like this, wanting to read the rest of it because
you only have like 20 pages.
I do. I know. I'm on page 371, and I think it's 407. It's the end. Mm-hmm. But it is so good, and it makes so much sense. Everything is coming together.
So that makes me curious.
Nate is going to turn out to be the hero, of course. You know,
he kind of leans
so
funny. I do like him.
I mean,
that's what's keeping me from saying no way is the fact that Brent. I want to call
Brandon.
Him Brandon. Brandon did do a good job of making you like the characters.
I love the
yes,
kids.
He's wonderful.
I think
you like the
I
kids.
Think great.
And that's oh, what's yeah. keeping me. That's the only reason. That's actually mm-hmm. right now at this point. The only reason I want to keep reading is because I do like the kids.
Yeah, the kids are fun. It's just the story that was the way the story was going.
Well,
and so I want to give it a full
good.
Chance. So we'll
good.
Visit
that's
it.
That's good.
You know, and I wonder if anyone else has felt that way.
They may have.
Let
I mean,
us know.
But your questions will be answered. I really honestly feel like your questions will all be answered.
Okay. I think we need to talk briefly about Wednesday letters.
Yes.
We weren't planning to all read this or talk about it for the podcast, but it's worked out that way. So let's start with the style it was written on. We'll do an impromptu review of the Wednesday letters by Jason F. Wright, author of Christmas Stars, in case you didn't know.
Which is a wonderful book, by the way.
I haven't read it yet.
That's a good
book. Excellent, excellent. You need to hurry up and read it.
Okay, so the style it was written in, it's third person. Because it goes to different characters. It kind of visits each person.
There's enough letter writing in it that I would say it's a combination of
it is third a combination. And first. It is third, I agree. Mm-hmm. I agree.
I would say that's just my opinion.
Right. Well, I mean, as far as the story, the
story, the base narration is in third
person.
Yes,
it's in third person. And then inserted in the story are letters written by
Jack.
To Laurel. Yeah, I want to say Lauren, but it's Laurel, his wife. And when they were first married and on their honeymoon, the first letter.
I thought that was so stinking sweet. Oh my gosh.
He promised to write every Wednesday.
And he did.
Write a love letter every Wednesday. And he always did. Sometimes it wasn't always on a Wednesday. It was like maybe on a Sunday or early the next day or first thing, like 1 a.m. on a Wednesday. But he always wrote every week on anything. It was a variety of letters.
Some of them were almost like journal entries.
Envelopes or post-it notes or just, you know, like, well, this is what I had for a week while I was here on work or whatever. Had to eat, you know. Just something. He always wrote a letter. And through the letters, they're in all sorts of different orders in these boxes. The children, Malcolm, well, Samantha, and Matthew.
That, you need to clarify that Jack and Laurel both died at the same time.
On the same day.
Mm-hmm. At the same time. Well, not exactly, but
close. He died after.
He had cancer.
A brain tumor.
She was fine.
She was fine.
And but died then, from a heart attack.
But she died, you know, and then he was so close. He was 3 months beyond when they thought he would live anyway. He was so close to death that he penned his last letter.
Right.
And right after she passed away. It's right in the first chapter, so we're not giving anything away that you're not going to read immediately
on the
book. But
he always felt like he was going to pass away a long time before Laurel.
He felt she was going to be long and that she was going to be able to relive their life together through these letters. And he planned on passing away before she did.
Anyway, didn't quite work out
children,
that way.
No, the three children who came, Matthew's the oldest, and then...
Then Samantha.
And then Samantha and then Malcolm.
Is the youngest.
Was he the... Oh, no, I thought Samantha was the youngest.
No. No. I have to think about that one.
Because I think it was Matthew and then Malcolm and then Samantha.
I don't think so.
I think it's Matthew, Samantha, and Malcolm. I think Malcolm's the youngest too. Now I'm really thinking about it, but I'm not 100% sure on that.
Well, I seem to remember that Malcolm was a second, but anyway.
There's a reason why we're
right. clarifying on this. So, anyway, there's something comes out, and we're not going to talk about it here because it belongs in the book and you need to read it when it comes out in the letters because it's just very, it's something that in the end you understand why everyone admired Jack and Laurel so much, even though they've been through a lot in their marriage. And this is something that only very few people knew had happened, and it affected one of the children greatly. But it was just a united family. Men and women can enjoy this. It's not so sentimental or anything like that.
Oh, yeah. It's not like a mushy,
It's modern fiction. It's written in a modern style where they kind of, you know, it's...
If you consider 1980s bit, modern. But well, yeah, I mean, as far
the
as...
The writing style, not
oh, the
story.
Writing style. Yes, the writing style is definitely
It's a little,
modern.
I want to say shallower. It doesn't go into like huge, deep character...
Development. And it doesn't really need it, though. It's kind of a lighter, shallower.
But I mean, it's such a fast read.
It's an excellent fast read.
The characters are nice. I liked Malcolm. I liked Rain, but I
Matthew is the typical older brother who has to be the older brother and kind of pushy and kind of.
Well, and Samantha.
I did not like Nathan. I mean, he kind of leaves it up to not liking Nathan. But you just like to wonder. Well, and the whole thing, the reason why Malcolm ended up leaving anyway, ended up in South America was to me really dumb. And the way it was set up, I'm sorry, Jason, but. I didn't like the way that was done. I just didn't like, because it seemed really shallow to me it just happened to work out that way. I didn't like it.
Well, and I don't know. It's just,
and we knew Nathan was a scumbag anyway, but.
Yeah.
Just not well, how he, big of a scumbag. Obvious, but right. It was just kind of like, to me, it was really predictable. I don't like that part.
That was just kind of like a secondary little storyline. The main one was about Jack and Laurel in this in Domus Jefferson, which they always wanted to have and were able to get ahead of time.
And it sounded so cute, like a really nice place to visit. Well, actually, and I love their neighbor.
Well, and Jason and his family moved to Woodstock, Virginia.
Yeah, I read that.
After he'd researched it and they loved it so much that he and his, I think it's four children.
Three or four.
And his wife, three children. They all moved into the Shenandoah Valley there at Woodstock because
they're four
they liked
children.
It so much.
There's four?
Four.
Oh, you mean him, actually.
His four.
Yes. He personally moved there.
Right. So nice. Oh, that is true. Yeah, he really did on his own.
But okay, I do want to talk about the story that really touched, something that really touched me, the story of Cameron. Cameron was a teenage boy who was diagnosed with cancer.
That's why I thought it was cancer.
Well, it was cancer that Jack had.
was it?
Yeah, it was an inoperable brain tumor.
Okay.
They would drive up to Washington, D.C., Cameron and his family, for treatments, and they would always stay a night at the bed and breakfast. And they got to be kind of close together. And when it got time for Cameron to pass away, and I'm telling this, but you know, it's okay.
It's not, it doesn't ruin the story for you. Give away anything.
Cameron requested to spend his last days at the inn. And Cameron was a big history buff, like anything about Stonewall Jackson. And he and Jack would drive around and
look at the sites.
And Cameron said they'd visit all the places and stuff. And they had this bond. And when Cameron was about to pass away, he called Jack up and wanted to talk to him and everything. And they had, you know, he told Jack to give Laurel a big kiss, and Cameron was smiling when he told Jack to give Laurel a big kiss and everything. And then Jack went down and got his parents, and 10 minutes later they came down and confirmed that Cameron had passed away. And the end of this letter says, and I want to see if I can find it really quick, because
I should have bookmarked that, because I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. The story was just so nice. It says, and they're spiritual people, but it's not a specific religion. It doesn't specify as a religion as far as that goes. But the reason why this stands out to me is related to my grandpa, my mom's dad, who I really liked. And he was an awesome grandpa. He was the epitome of everything a grandpa should be, but he had his own struggles. When he was younger, he had a problem with his temper and different things like that. Jack was writing to Laurel about this, and he didn't tell her in person. He wrote her in the letter because he couldn't tell her because he doesn't like to cry in front of people, and he knows that she knows that. This is the end of the letter. It says, "I know death isn't usually a time of joy, but as I write these lines, I cannot deny the peace in my heart. I cannot deny that Cameron is free now. I cannot deny that despite the emptiness his family feels, their hearts know the truth. Cameron is where he should be. I imagine he's already passed through the gate and is walking the foggy fields in Manassas at Bull Run, but he's not walking alone. Stonewall Jackson is there." Mm-hmm. And this is the part I read it and I had to put the book down so I could cry. It said, "Now I know why the Lord took his day off on Sunday. That must be the day he personally greets his favorites."
Aww.
Now, the reason why that made me cry is because my grandpa, my beloved grandpa, died on Easter Sunday. It was a conference Sunday. Mm-hmm. Sitting next to his wife of I don't know how many years, waiting to hear President Hinckley speak. And he passed away on Sunday.
Wow.
Easter Sunday, conference Sunday, waiting to listen to the prophet. And so when I read that, Sunday must be the day the Lord greets his favorites, it just touched me because my grandpa was my favorite. So I had to stop and cry there.
You know which letter I loved most?
What?
So on their anniversary in 1971, he wrote the 20 things that he loved about
it. Oh, yeah. That was
cute.
It's like he says, it means you get more than a 99-cent card from the drugstore.
Yep.
"I know you can keep saying you love whatever I give you, but your face tells me otherwise when Wednesdays roll around." And it says, and so he just writes this list, and I just think, oh, that's so nice.
Jason was actually on Good Things Utah, and he talked about how everyone can write their a little letter, and how letters, actually handwritten letters, even with emails mm-hmm. and all the things you can mm-hmm. do, and cards, handwritten letters are so special. And he said that everyone can write, you know, he suggested that people do that, write the top 10 list of what they love the most. And the things he loved the most were so, some of them were so simple and you wouldn't think of it.
Seriously.
You know, I think one was your smile, but then there were
patience,
other things.
Your imagination.
Mm-hmm. They're just cute things that.
This one makes me laugh. "The way you let go of the blanket during the night when you roll over so you won't pull it off of me.
But
I
then
can
you
tell
pull
when
it
you
anyway.
Grab it again on the other side and give it a little tug. I like the tugs." It's like, we do that constantly.
So
we've done that for 14 years. The tug back and forth. But I thought that was cute.
Those are the little things, you know, that you really think about the stuff you wouldn't normally think about and write what you would miss. The little things that you don't realize you would miss until it was gone. And it makes you think about precious things. And I like that. And I wanted to tell you,
nice.
I was at Hobby Lobby and I found these $2 journals and they were so cute. Aww. And having this in mind, I decided to get, one was one I knew Tana would love. And one was one that JC likes pink and brown. So it has pink and brown flowers and it's really cute. And then I have another one that's striped for Riley. And I decided that those were my journals to my kids, that I'm going to write little letters and certain things. I already have a letter I'm going to write to JC for her first grade program, which I almost cried the entire time. I'm so sentimental. And then another one is for Tana on her 10th birthday and my glimpse of the future and everything. And I just want to be able to write to them and then they can find it later. Either I give it to them when it's full or when they're older or whatever.
See, and I have something like that, that Brady and I have is a notebook that we stick underneath each other's pillow that we write just our thoughts about each other under. And it rotates.
Just slide it under?
And it just slides under the pillow. It doesn't move from under the pillow. And our kids thankfully haven't found it yet.
Were you in the old ward when they did those wood hearts that you hide?
I don't think so.
We painted little wood hearts and wrote I love you on it. And then the point is to hide it somewhere where your loved one will find it. Maybe not immediately because you want them to just be doing something. Yeah. And they had told a story of an elderly gentleman who put on his sweater after his wife died and reached in the pocket and he hadn't worn it for months and he pulled out the heart. And it was like she was right there saying I love you just because she knew that he would put on his, it was his favorite sweater. When it got cold, he'd put it on and it was I know. And so my husband and I have this heart that we've hidden in different places. Like one time I hid it in a video game that I knew he liked, but he doesn't get to play his video games very often. So I knew when he'd pulled it out, it might take a couple months, but he'd open it and he'd find it. And with me, he put it in one of my magazines where I keep my recipes, a binder I keep my recipe magazines in, and it was right in the front in the plastic thing, and I opened it up and it took me like 5 months to find that one because I guess I didn't look there very often, but you know, just little things like that.
That's a cute idea. I like that idea a lot.
Maybe we should save that for Valentine's Day.
Yeah, no kidding. We'll talk about it again.
You know, do it for the holidays. Start a little tradition.
That is very cute.
Something to show your loved ones how much they mean to you because they can go so fast.
You know, one of the really important themes, and he talks about it on this little page that came to us from Shadow Mountain to, you know, discussing this book. It involves Malcolm, and it also involves a lot of Jack, what he had to do, but the idea of forgiveness.
Forgiveness. The whole center of the book is forgiveness.
Yes, it really is. I mean, and, you know, and I think I really had more compassion towards Malcolm through the whole book, especially when he finds out the things that he always thought were truth turned out not to be true
or
in his
not
life.
Like what he thought they were.
Right.
And you know, there was a reason.
Yeah, there was. And, you know, eventually they came to that. But, you know, and just having to forgive because I just thought, you know, and having to let go of some things too.
Letting go
part
can
of
be
forgiveness,
really
you know, letting
and
go.
And the thing that shows also is sometimes it takes time.
Right.
You have to go through the process. You can't, if somebody wrongs you or something happens that you have a hard time forgiving, you know, yes, we are required to forgive, but there's nothing that says in the scripture that say you have to do it immediately.
I know.
Sometimes you cannot truly mean it if you don't go through the process of mourning, grieving, acceptance, the first denial and then acceptance and whatever, and anger even, and then you get to the acceptance part and then you can let it go. You have to go through the process and it shows how he goes through that process.
I think it's wonderful. That was really meaningful for me.
Well, and it shows how how Jack went through the process also.
Which, to be honest with you, that kind of bothered me.
It did?
A little bit, not just because of the way, I mean, I can understand how Jack felt deceived, but if you look, when I weigh the two,
but once he knew the truth,
that really bothered me a little bit because what happened to Laurel was so huge.
It wasn't what actually happened. Well, you know, we got to be careful.
I know, that's why I'm being careful what I'm saying, but it was, that's what I'm like, I can understand why she didn't tell him
some things.
And yeah, but I mean, as far as him leaving and going to Chicago for 4 days or whatever to deal with it, that actually made me mad.
It wasn't the things that happened. It was that she waited to tell him.
Well, but
a year later too.
And I understand that. It's just, and I'm not disagreeing necessarily, but it just bugs me because instead of,
well, she encouraged it. None of anything. It was.
It doesn't make sense.
You have to read it.
Yeah, you need to read it. We don't want to give it away because that is the crux of the book, but. Yeah, that part, it just frustrated me that he left when, the way I see it, it's like she should be the one that.
Well, no, sometimes people just have to be away to be able to go through the process.
And I know, and I know, it just still just kind of bugged me a little bit, but that's okay. But not that it's a bad thing, but just.
Well, I loved how Jack and Laurel got into Elvis Presley's mansion.
That was so great. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, you guys have to read that.
We won't give that away. That was hilarious.
And then it cracked me up how excited he was that he got to meet William Shatner.
Oh, I know. I love that.
I was just dying. It was just like,
Star Trek fan, I love that.
Just, I mean, the little things are thrown in. That's what, I mean, you're laughing one minute, you're crying the next.
Yep.
I mean,
and I love the neighbor. The neighbor is
Annabelle.
And A&B.
A&P.
A&P.
But you know what? The thing about, I love the even the mundane ones. you know, even the ones who's like, well, and he writes little songs, and you know they're probably not the greatest, but you know, well, it's, but he writes from the heart, right. And that's what matters. You have to write from the heart.
It's
that's
very powerful. Very sweet. And I love how he follows Samantha to New York, and
it was, yeah.
I don't want to give too much away. No, that was sweet because well, you know, that's something very dad to do.
I thought she was going to be really mad about that, but she was fine. She was I think fine. That's something,
I think that endeared her to him more than anything else.
I thought it was really endearing.
It was interesting seeing the relationship among the siblings.
Yeah.
Being older.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when you get older, your relationship does change.
It changes completely.
With your siblings, with your parents. I mean, it's something that I saw in my parents and mm-hmm. their siblings, and it's something that I know things are going to change with my siblings, but I always want to have that closest where even when you're doing your own thing, I know that I don't talk to my brother sometimes for months,
long time,
but I know that if I needed him for something, he'd be there. He was the first one there when Riley was born. Of course, he only lives 2 minutes away, but he, as soon as he heard, he was up and he was there. You know, but I hadn't seen him or really talked to him. We'd see each other on birthdays or special occasions and holidays. Those are just given. We always do it. But we know that even if we aren't talking every day or seeing each other all the time, mm-hmm. then if somebody needs something, everyone will drop whatever and be there. That's just how it is with our siblings. It's the same thing that with Sam and Matt and Malcolm, that if they needed something, I mean, they called Malcolm and he was there.
I love that Sam's
you know,
a
they
cop.
Just, you just drop, yeah, that's cool. She's so cute. I wish I could have gotten to know her daughter a little better. I think her daughter
she was just kind of like mentioned.
She was there
really,
and kind of there.
I'm
kind of
really curious about, well, I mean, you got the gist of what her relationship was like with her ex-husband, but I still kind of wondered.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of history and stuff that you're kind of like, okay, Jason, come on.
I know, cough it up, dude.
Out of all the siblings, I think I had the hardest time liking Matthew.
Uh-huh. I did too.
Me too.
Yep.
He did. But you know what, being the oldest in my family,
you understood
I can sympathize
right.
a little bit.
You can understand.
I can understand. Doesn't mean I like it, but I can understand.
But you still could.
Because there's this position. Right. Being the oldest is a hard place to be. It is so hard.
Well, I wouldn't know.
That's why you need to read a birth order book, because believe it or not, there is a lot of truth to that. There is.
About how hard it is to be the oldest?
Well, not only that, but every child has their own role in a family, depending mm-hmm. on where they fall. And having three kids in a family is a perfect example.
But
oldest, middle, youngest. And it's mm-hmm. very interesting how children naturally fall into those roles that they're placed in just by birth order.
Right.
So he did a very good job of what I would consider
staying true to
how a child acts in that position.
Yeah. So, even in their 30s.
Yeah, even. Yeah. Well, I mean, my family is a classic example of that because the oldest, I came from three, and then my little brother's, you know, 10 years younger than the rest of us, so he's basically an only child. So that's
exactly.
different.
If there's that 5-year mm-hmm. difference uh-huh. between them, I think it starts yeah. over again.
It does start over.
Well, there's six between JC and Riley. So
you're going to see some differences.
And plus, he's opposite gender.
Exactly.
So. Birth order is an interesting thing, guys. You should read it. There's a good book out there.
I have read
by,
one of those.
Who's it by?
Kevin Lehman, I want to say. L-E-H-M-A-N.
Is it just called the birth order book?
The Real You is what it's
the
called.
Because I've read one before. I think it's called the birth order book.
Really enjoy it. And he's funny, too, because he's the youngest child. He's actually very funny.
Those kinds of things interest me. But anyway, but so
it's very interesting.
If you haven't had a chance to read Wednesday Letters,
this is a great book.
Okay, quick question. As far as right now with the candy shop war, where you are right now, would you, if you had to get rid of half your books, would that one be a keeper?
Ooh, that's a really difficult question. Because I can tell you right off the bat, I'd keep my Fable Haven books.
Okay, so there.
So I have to
so
finish
you're
it.
Unsure? Unsure on
I'm
that
unsure
one?
Right now, and I'm going to have to finish it and maybe try reading it again.
Would you read it again?
Oh, yeah, I will. I will read it again.
Okay.
Not
would
right
you
away.
Buy it?
I already bought it.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, would you recommend others buy it?
I think if you like Fable Haven, yes,
yes,
buy it.
Something to have. Okay.
Yeah,
and you know
like
how
it.
Hillary and I kind of said, we're not going
to we'll have to get back to you on that one. Yeah.
As far as the Wednesday letters, would you read it again?
Ooh, yes, most definitely.
Yes.
If you had to get rid of half your collection, would it be a keeper?
That's a tough one for me because when you were saying candy shop war, I'm just like, okay, now if I had to get rid of half, I have so many nonfiction I like. Like, I would keep Please Pass
okay,
the
well,
Scriptures.
Let's just say if you get rid of half your fiction.
If I got rid of half my fiction, yes, I would take it with me if it was just fiction that I was taking with me.
Would you buy it if you didn't?
Yeah, I think I would.
And I think the Wednesday Letters is a book that I would buy for other people too.
Yeah. Oh, and I would. It's on my gift.
It's on my gift idea.
It's like on my list too.
Yeah, so, mine too.
Yep. But I would definitely keep this one.
I would probably buy it. It wouldn't be on the top of my list though. It would be, there's some books I want to buy ahead of it. If I were to keep half my books, I'm not sure if it would be a keeper. Would I read it again? Probably later. I liked it, but I wouldn't say it was
I liked
that was
Christmas
so
jars better.
To me.
Like Christmas jars for me is one absolutely would go on my absolute must keep. This okay. one I enjoyed
that one
a
yet,
lot.
So.
You'll, it's really good. This one I really liked, and I probably would keep it, but I enjoyed Christmas jars more.
Okay,
that's what I should say.
Okay,
yeah, I just think that there's a lot of lessons to be learned in this.
This is a good example of forgiveness. And
yes. Forgiveness, and also why it's important to tell your loved ones you love them.
Oh,
like
yeah.
you were saying earlier, it's just. Right. Because you never know when it's going to happen, when you're right. going to be taken or a loved one's going to be taken.
Yeah.
And it just
yeah.
so
that's true.
Has
okay.
a lot of important messages.
Well, that yep. pretty much answers all of our questions for those. I think I'm just going to put on here on the podcast that it was Candy Shop War and Wednesday Letters.
Might
so
yes.
we ended
I
up
say,
reviewing both of them at the same time. Yep. We haven't done two like that in a while.
No, we haven't. It's been
Maybe
a while.
We've done one and then talked about our recent reads. So it was nice. Kind
yeah,
of an impromptu thing.
It's good.
Okay. Join us for the Christmas gift giving
yeah.
gift guide, our suggestions for Christmas gifts podcast, and we'll let you know who the winner of the contest is. And we'll also give you some great suggestions for gifts, not just books, but music and DVDs and whatever.
Okay.
And recommend it to your family if they're unsure of what they would like to give also, or if they would like some suggestions. We thank you for joining us for episode 17 of LDS Women's Book Review. Be sure to visit us at www.ldswomensbookreview.com, and you can contact us at Sheila or Shanda or Hillary at ldswomensbookreview.com with any emails or feedback you have. And we'd love to hear from you. Anyway, thanks for joining us again, and make sure you join us next month.
Bye.
See ya.
Toodles. Toodles is your thing.
Yes, it is. I was going to say adios, moan frayers, okay. but I changed my mind. Combining my Spanish and my German, okay. both of which is pathetic.
See you next time.
Bye.